So I guess we should start the show with why we're recording on a Tuesday. It's my fault. Fish tacos suck. I really love fish tacos. It's just sometimes they don't like me or anyone.
I think that's... Yeah. Fish is tricky. I also... We were going to record yesterday. And then I literally passed out. Like, when I texted you, I had woken up because I had just woken up and I didn't realize I had gone to sleep. Like, suddenly an hour had gone by.
Yeah, that happens after working the full day. That's just what happens. Yeah. So, basically, we didn't get to record this weekend because I got sick on Sunday. And it was not a fun experience.
And I was dying.
And then we tried to record yesterday, but then Nikki fell asleep. But...
We did.
Here we are on a Tuesday recording. We're still going to use our search history from last week, though.
On a Tuesday.
I forget what that's from.
Me, same. I think it's the music.
Gotcha, girl.
Going up on a Tuesday. It's a song called Tuesday. By I Love Mackinnon featuring Drake. Musician Drake.
It feels like it was a really long time ago. It was a solid meme.
2014.
Yeah, okay. Freshman year of college.
35 years ago. And I'm Nikki.
And this is Tangential. It's a show about the internet and all the things we find on it. Each week, Nicholas and I go through what we found most interesting in our search history and share it with you for free. This week, Nikki's going to kick it off.
Ah, cool.
Yep.
I knew that this time
because
I wrote it down last week. Yep.
Fantastic.
Do you know that Zendaya is Michi? And LeBron James is Guanji, and the other lyrics to the song that Gabriel Gundacker, I think that's how you say his last name, wrote.
So I've been seeing this all over the internet, but I have no idea what it meant. Did this come out last week or did this come out today?
So it was 2 weeks ago. It came out between the time we recorded the last one. And today.
Okay.
Or I actually might have come out, whatever. It like didn't hit the mainstream until last week. But if you follow Gabe like a real fan, you saw it when he posted it.
One of the girls I followed posted like those words specifically and then, but written like a Rupi Kaur poem. And I was really confused.
Wait, written how?
As if it was a Rupi Kaur poem.
I don't know who that is.
The poet who writes the milk and honey shit. And
oh.
Do you know that poet?
No, I'm looking it up. So, Zendaya is Michi is a meme. If you have not seen it, go on twitter.com. It'll be in the link dump. That is... That, like... It did the weird thing where it became kind of viral, by which I mean like it got halfway there and didn't like, we're not going to see it on TV. Like the girl who sang the national anthem at the Galaxy game last week. But like it was everywhere for like 3 days. It was like it was that phase of viral. It's a video where Gabriel is like Gabe is going walking the streets of LA and finds a billboard for Smallfoot, which is the DreamWorks film that the advertisement is for, which apparently is very bad. Why do they keep putting James Corden in movies?
He's not a bad voice actor. He's a pretty good voice actor.
But he's in such bad movies.
It's his manager's fault. For allowing him to take these roles and telling him, it'll be fine. You're in it. People will see it.
Like, he's 0 for 2 on his last two animated films, unless one came out between Emoji Movie and this one.
Oh, Peter Rabbit.
Which that was also that bad.
It wasn't that bad. I saw it. It was a kids movie. It was funny.
Well, the movie, that one, Smallfoot, the film is bad. Allegedly, I haven't seen it. I don't know. That is kind of my thing. But the other thing is that Gabe basically successfully got in under the wire for a thing that I loved that he did this summer. Because last summer, you remember when I was annoying the hell out of y'all with the I Want to Meet Richard Dreyfuss album?
Yep.
Same dude.
Oh. I did not expect him to look like that.
So he's got, Gabe has, he's a comedian, like a Los Angeles comedian. He writes a bunch and does a bunch of skits. He was like really big on Vine, like right before it died. And my favorite Vine series of his is called Is This Music, where he pretends that he doesn't know what music, like the character doesn't know what music is. So he's like constantly sitting in rooms where music is playing and he's like, is this music? I love this. It's very good. But he also has an album out where he basically sings his way into meeting Richard Dreyfuss, which I just played all throughout last summer, much to the chagrin of Jules and crew, because they hated it.
Jules and crew.
Yeah.
Trademark. 2018.
So yeah, there was that. It's real fun. He's got I went to the Coinstar video, which is might be one of my favorite videos of the entire year. All this stuff will be in the link dump. It's hard to explain jokes without like having a person like watch the thing. So go into the link dump and watch those. But I think like the actual thing I kind of wanted to talk about from this is that I saw this and then forgot that it existed. And then because I follow Gabe on Twitter, and then it came back around, but it felt like a week had gone by in between me finding it, watching it, thinking it was funny, and then it coming back around to like when it actually got picked up by the internet more broadly, because so much is happening in the world that I feel like weeks are going by over the span of work days.
Yeah, I feel.
I feel like we are losing, like we are losing the ability for things to go viral. I think, like, I don't know.
Given the news cycle at this point in time,
yes.
Ability to go viral is gone forever. I think it's just at this point in time.
Right. Like, I think that we don't, like, I don't think there is time for it the same way that they're used to.
Especially, okay, just like this weekend's SNL and how awful it was, and just Kanye West in general. Mm-hmm. People, I mean, maybe it's just like exhaustion over Kanye West. People aren't making as huge of a deal about it, about what he is and what he does anymore. But the man literally came out in a sparkling water bottle.
Yeah. But it's gone. Like, we lost it. No one's going to talk about it. It's over. Like, that moment is gone and over.
Maybe it'll resurface when his album comes out. And there'll be tons of memes just pointing back to that. His album comes out in November, so it'll give people enough time to marinate over it.
To remember. It's just so what? Like, I don't think we can get where I'm sitting here on October 2nd, gross. October 2nd, I cannot foresee a time on the internet where we will get the Dress and the Llama thing happening in the same day. You remember that? Like Dress, like the dress, capital
Dress.
T,
Don't
capital
remember the
D,
llama.
The Dress. Earlier that day, two llamas escaped in Arizona, and it was all over, it was a national news story where these two, like, people were chasing these llamas through this town in Arizona. Like, those two things happened in the same day, and it was like, it was the internet at its most pure, even though the dress, I guess, was like kind of roiled in conflict, but it was like frivolous content or conflict, right? Like, it wasn't, no one was dying over the dress, but like, I feel like we don't have the time for that anymore, which is just super weird.
Like, maybe we're in a different phase. Maybe we never should have had that time, though. Maybe these issues were always there and we just never paid attention to them because we didn't have a meme as president.
So you're saying that up until now, the internet has acted as panacea, but we've had the wool removed from our eyes, revealing the horrors of our true existence.
I'm sure many people were aware of the horrors before, but now the internet feels more of a responsibility.
Bad
maybe?
Place. Yeah. Yeah, because it matters. I don't know. Like, do you know what the moth thing is?
The moth and the light? No idea. No idea.
Yeah,
seen
like,
it
what
everywhere.
Is that?
No
okay.
idea.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know what it is.
I don't have the energy to look it up either. I honestly...
Yeah, me neither. If you know what the moth thing is, email us at tangentialpod@gmail.com. Because, like, I don't know what it is. Anyway, that was the thing I wanted to start with. I've watched a remarkable amount of television, by which I mean some television. I finished The Dragon Prince. I have like three... I finished season two of BoJack. And What else did I do? Oh, I'm like, I'm still watching Steven Universe. So I'm like halfway through season three. Those are three weird shows to watch all at once because they are so tonally different, mm-hmm. In the things that they talk about and the way that they approach, relationships even is radically different from show
totally.
To show. Have you watched The Dragon Prince?
I have not.
Okay. If you don't know what The Dragon Prince is, it's a new show, new-ish show. It came out middle of September. Show on Netflix from the former head writer of Avatar The Last Airbender. And his friend, whose name I don't know, but he was the one of the directors and writers on Uncharted, which is like a video game series from Naughty Dog. And they have a production studio together called Wonderstorm. And they're working with Netflix on this and I think a video game, but that stuff is like kind of still under wraps. So I think they're focusing more on the television show first. But a lot like in the style of Avatar, there's this huge world with people and there's magic and there are a bunch of elements and those elements all have sway in the way that the world works. It literally does the same thing as Avatar, where like the first, it doesn't do it every single episode like Avatar did, but the first episode literally is the same, like earth, fire, water. These are the, like, it is that exact theme, except there are seven elements. And it's like a 4-minute long, like, exposition dump about the lore of this world. And then you get through that and you're like, wow, I remember Avatar The Last Airbender. And then the first screen you see looks exactly like the Avatar The Last Airbender title screen. It literally says book one and then the element and then the episode title. And it's like, oh, they're just making Avatar.
You finished it, haven't you? So you were hooked.
Yes. So there are nine episodes. There's only nine episodes, which is weird.
I don't think that's weird.
But I think it is weird in context because of the way that they've set up this episode or this, because of the way that this season is set up. The finale, that I don't even think this is a spoiler. The finale for this season, quote unquote season, feels like a mid-season finale and not like a season finale, which makes me confused as to what the way that the show is actually structured, because it opens with book, which to me means a book is a season because that's how Avatar was set up. But also there's no way that the end of episode 9 is the end of book 1 because that's not how that story works. Mm-hmm. You should watch it. It's real quick. And if you liked Avatar, you will 100% like this. Netflix's animation department is, or their animation stable, I should say, is just wild.
I think they have different companies they go to for animation.
Right. Right. I think they are, I feel like they're definitely are like contracting this stuff out. I actually don't think, I'm trying to think of like the quote in-house productions that they have. And I don't think
they have any.
I think it's just BoJack.
Well, even BoJack, right? No, they, what's BoJack's company?
Oh, you're
Sid
right.
Sid went for an interview it's with like, them.
it starts with a T or something, right?
I think so. Weren't you telling me that the animators for BoJack had to stop making separate art because the creators got upset and they were like, we can't give this stuff out for free anymore?
What?
Didn't you tell me this?
I have no idea. Maybe? I don't know. Their production company for BoJack is called Tornante.
Mm-hmm. BoJack.
Animator. But yeah, I guess there's no Netflix, quote unquote Netflix studios, which I don't know actually know what Netflix's like in-house production company is called. But there's no House of Cards equivalent for their animated division. I think all of their they literally just serve as the network for every single one of their animated shows.
I've been trying to look up what the role that they've given their employees is, and all I've come up with is that the animators aren't allowed to draw tails on their animals, which makes sense because they look more humanistic without them.
The last thing is that I've been trying to figure out how a person gets a suit or a tux via the internet, because I have a wedding coming up, mm-hmm. for which I need a tux and or suit, unclear. And there are a lot of ways to do it, so that's good. It's more expensive than I would like them to be, but it's possible.
You need a tux?
I don't know. I haven't been given nearly enough information. I don't know what day it's on, but I know it's within the next month and a half. Which is bad. But yeah, that was my week plus some days. Work has been a lot, so it's been all over the place. What's up in your neck of the woods?
For the first half of last week, it was just Kavanaugh news on Kavanaugh news on Kavanaugh news.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when we were talking about him on our show like 3 weeks ago, and we were just talking about his history and who he was and how that is extreme. That's just like ballooned into this giant monster of a topic that the world that is on the forefront of everyone's mind, it seems like. And I think that it's impossible to go anywhere on the internet without being reminded by it in some way or form, or turning on the television to any news station and going 30 seconds without hearing his name. So yeah, it's just been a lot of checking up on what the deal with his FBI investigation, well, I guess that's more recently, what the deal with his FBI investigation is, which will cease on Friday. And I guess beforehand, just trying to find as much information as I could about him and his college roommates and that judge character. So that's that. I feel like if you want to hear more about Kavanaugh, just...
You turn on, go anywhere. Turn on a computer, you'll get it.
Yeah.
Today, that's the shit that I'm talking about where it feels like weeks are forever, or days are forever. I saw today someone tweeted about UB40, which one of the stories that has come out over the course of the last like 48 hours we're recording on Tuesday is that he and his friend Chris Dudley, former NBA player and man who got the shit dunked out of him by Shaq in the late 90s, got in a fight with the lead singer of the band UB40. And I saw that happened yesterday, and I saw a tweet about it today, and I out loud said, did that happen today? And then literally had to spend the next 10 minutes trying to figure out whether or not the UB40 news stuff came out today or yesterday, because it felt like it had been one day.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Moving away from that, Sunday, since we're recording on Tuesday, I feel like I should include my Sunday information. Sunday was the season finale of Insecure. If you've never watched it, it's an HBO dramedy comedy starring Issa Rae. And I don't think I've ever talked about it on the show, but I really wanted to talk about this episode. So the last episode was dealing with a character named Nathan who... Okay, spoiler alert for people who haven't watched it, but it's been a couple days, people, so I feel like I should be able to talk about it if you were fans of the show. Anyway, there's a character in the show, Nathan, who Issa just meets up with, and she's just gotten out of a relationship with this man named Daniel, and she's kind of just bouncing between going back to her ex, or not even going back to her ex, but feeling good about how she ended things with her ex, who she cheated on in the first season, and then getting away from Daniel, who's this high school friend that she had, who turned out to be more than a friend. She winds up staying on his couch for a while, and she's kind of moving her life in a different direction. She's figuring out what she wants to do professionally, and she meets this guy, Nathan, while she's driving Lyft, and they instantly have a connection, and they wind up meeting randomly at this taco stand. She actually mentioned the taco stand before, and I guess I don't know, it's unclear if he had been going to this taco stand every day until she was there.
Or if she inceptioned him.
They meet up one day, and they spend the whole day together, and it's like one of those concept episodes where a main character meets a beautiful stranger and they just have the most amazing day ever and they both learn a lot about each other. And it seems like they're going to have a really amazing relationship and things are going great, but within the progression of the next couple episodes, it seems that Nathan's ghosted her and just isn't in her life anymore, and Issa doesn't know what she did or why he's doing this. And she goes to his roommate and tries to figure out information that way, and she's just coming up with nothing. And she finally lets go of it. And she's like, you know, I'm just gonna live my life and move on. And then this guy shows up a month later on her doorstep on her birthday, and her friend Molly is there to intercept any kind of interaction between the two. She tells Nathan to leave and that she doesn't want to see him, and then it's been a month and there's no excuse, but he has like flowers in his hand and he wants to apologize for something. We don't know what his reason is, and it's really tempting to know what his reason is, despite I think people's initial gut reaction when they are being ghosted, that no one deserves to be treated like that, and there's no explanation for being ghosted for a month. You know,
it's because it's bad.
It is bad. However, eventually Nathan does get to Issa's door, and he has the flowers, or he doesn't have the flowers with him. He asks her if she got the flowers, and he tries to explain himself. And I have to say, this actor's portrayal of this character, in this moment in time, you could see that there was something huge happening beyond the words that he was telling her. And he was trying desperately to get them out. And he said, I'm really sorry, but sometimes I get like this. And my way of clearing my mind is just not talking to people because I can't deal with it. And I went back home and I was going through things. And Issa just didn't want to hear it. She'd been hurt and she had no interest in rekindling things. But the more that I thought about it, it was clear that Nathan was trying to tell Issa that he suffers from depression. And also, in episodes prior, Nathan had talked about how the whole reason that he was in LA was because his home had been completely destroyed during Hurricane Harvey, and he just up and moved immediately after that without time to grieve or really digest that his home and all that was around him had been completely destroyed. And in this episode, he had talked about how the reason that he left was because he went to Houston for a month. And I think it's going to be interesting Well, essentially what I looked out specifically about this episode was to see if anyone else was in defense of Nathan or had any explanation for Nathan's behaviors. And I found that people, there were tons of people that did identify Nathan's behaviors as someone who suffers from depression. And there was a dialogue that I was going along with, hoping that Issa Rae talks about mental health in season four. And I think this could be a turning point in Insecure in the way that there was a turning point with Gretchen in You're the Worst. And it was Stephen Fox's decision to show depression, and Aya Cash's portrayal has been called, critics have called it one of the most raw portrayals of depression on network television that there has ever been up until this time. And I think that for Issa to talk about it in the fourth season, specifically surrounding a character who is a person of color and who is male, would be huge because depression is so stigmatized within that community. And I don't know, I'm hoping that Issa creates a larger discussion instead of just like knocking off the character completely.
You said that, see, and I don't watch the program. You said that Issa's character is not receptive to his explanation at all. Like, what happens?
So he isn't able to verbalize that he has depression. He's able to verbalize that this is how he coped. This is,
right.
He didn't mean to do this. He was so sorry, and it looked like he was grasping for words to say and just couldn't come up with them. And, Issa just didn't want to hear it. She was done. She just moved into a new apartment. She kind of just wanted to rid herself of all that and all of the men in her life, which may be something bigger than Nathan specifically. It may just be Issa trying to cleanse herself of all the relationships she's ever had and do effectively what Nathan did in cutting everyone off. And maybe that's her way of coping. But I think Nathan deserved to explain himself more fully.
Yeah.
And maybe he couldn't do it at that point in time. So I'm interested in seeing if this discussion continues. Yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, I just found a lot of Twitter support on that point as well, and a couple articles which I can link up. The next thing that I looked up was Hilda, which I thought you were going to talk about, but you didn't.
I didn't include it in my list of things.
So Hilda is a new Netflix original based off of a comic, and the one thing that I really wanted to know about the show was who voiced Hilda, because the voice sounded so, so familiar, and it was paining me that I couldn't pinpoint it. And it turns out that it's Bella Ramsey, the little girl who plays Lyanna Mormont in Game of Thrones. She's from the House of Mormont. Yeah. Who has joined the North.
How fun.
Not scales, Nikki.
Nah, listen, I know.
So, more about the show. I guess if I were to recommend it to anyone listening, what you need to know is that it's a mix of Spirited Away and Gravity Falls and perhaps even Adventure Time. And it just, it mixes wildlife and magic and youth struggles in this effortless way that I think is really, really exceptional. And I think all of the characters equate their magical struggles with youth struggles, and I think it's a very interesting way to have kids think about things like isolation and not fitting in, and there's a whole bunch of things that this show covers. I'm on the sixth episode. And yeah. At every corner, there's love and support. And I think it's just a really great show and has a great soundtrack. And if you like animation, watch it.
It's so pretty. Like, it is so... The color palette is... like, I didn't know I liked those colors together, but, like, it felt right in my brain. And, like, I would get any screenshot, I would get blown up into a poster and put on a wall. Like, it just looks so good. Now that I'm done with The Dragon Prince, I'm going to get back into it, because I haven't watched any more since that episode. And then I read the book.
The comic. That's it for me.
Wow. What a short one. Is anything exciting happening for you in the next handful of days pre the next time we record?
No, I'm just going to see a bunch of movies because it's Halloween and a bunch of things are coming out. And I'm working and yeah, that's it.
How fun. Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Forza Horizon 4 came out today, so I'm going to play some of that. We did it. We did the thing. I was trying to see if we could like pull like get anything like another like 5 minutes. I don't think it's there. I think it's over. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have search history for Saturday, so we can make up for it then.
Well, yeah, we'll get there.
But lots of people like the shortness of our shorter episodes. So, you're welcome.
Maybe this one will get... Speaking of you're welcome, this is my last thing. I watched Moana today at work for work purposes.
Awful segue.
No, it's a great segue, because last night I taught myself how to play You're Welcome on the ukulele.
Cue outro music.
It's only
music.
Four chords. I mean, I can.
Grabs ukulele. Oh, it's right there.
It was my room is right there. Not that big. Hold on. I think it's Is it AFCG?
I don't know why you're asking
that seems right. Face to face with greatness and it's strange. Don't even know how you feel. It's adorable. Yeah, that's it. It's so easy. What I'm trying to say is that music is really easy, and that also, if you want to find more of this program, make your way over to tangential.xyz. It's where you can find this episode and every other episode that we've ever done. Is this 32 or 33?
Burp, burp, burp. I think it's 33.
You can find all 33 other episodes that we've done. Because the pilot is unnumbered. So, tangential.xyz for that. You can find me on Twitter at Godsua. You can find Jules on Twitter at JS Klemek. You can find the show on Twitter at tangential_. What's the other one? Instagram.com is a website where you can share photos and videos, and we share social video for the show every single week. And you can find that social video on my... I'm done with this. Like, it's hard to talk and also do that loop over and over. I'm not that good. You can find the social video for our show on my Instagram at Chasing Grayson, or on Jules's Instagram, which is at JS Klemek, or on the show's Instagram, which is Tangential Podcast. And you can email us at tangentialpod@gmail.com. And huge thanks to Louis Zong, as always, for the use of our theme song Blackberry Jam off of the album Jam 2. You can find that song and every other song Louis made ever. Well, I don't know. Actually, I don't know if that's true. There's probably some songs that aren't up there. At louiszong.bandcamp.com. And that's it. We did it. We made content.
Bye.
A little late, but we got there. Bye.